Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started. Hey friends, hey, welcome back to the show. It's Nikayla here, and today I am back with an update episode with Charisse Jones. She is the CEO of Sassy Jones, the colorful fashion and beauty brand that changes women's lives and confidence through style. Now, Charisse was in the guest chair back in 2021, episode 166. We will link to that. Definitely go check it out. And she has shared how she has grown Sassy Jones. So just a few fun, hard-hitting facts about Sassy Jones and Charisse. Under her leadership and vision, the brand has stunned the business and fashion worlds, having reached a 24th spot on the Inc. 5000 list and been named by Forbes as one of the top 25 small businesses that thrived during the pandemic. Charisse has also been recognized as the 2021 Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, as a Tory Burch Foundation Fellow, and as a winner of HSN's The Big Find. Most recently, the Today Show covered her story on scaling the brand over 12,000% in just 3 years with zero investors while raising twin boys. Charisse had so much wisdom to share, and I loved our conversation. So let's get right into it. All right. Well, Charisse, welcome back to the guest chair. I'm so happy to have you, and thank you for making the time.
Absolutely, Nikayla. So delighted to be here and to catch up with you. I'm excited.
Likewise. It's been a while. And by the way, guys, be sure to check us out on YouTube because Charisse just looks stunning as always. Aww. And you got to see us in action. Okay. So let's catch everyone up. So if you don't know, I'll link to Charisse's original episode, but Charisse, as you know, is the CEO of Sassy Jones. So I noticed you describe Sassy Jones as the colorful fashion and beauty brand that changes women's lives and confidence through style. I think that is so unique that you say that. You don't say accessories. You don't say lifestyle products. You talk about the impact. Why is that?
Impact has always been my why, Nikayla. Like, even when I think about before entrepreneurship, when it was a side hustle for me, like, and when I was working my corporate gig, and I would do these interviews and all these different jobs, just trying to find who I am and what I'm going to do in the world. And so they would always ask me, like, you know, why do you want this job? Or what do you want to do? And my answer was always, I want to make a difference. So for me, it's always been about impact. So fast forward to starting a brand, it's like, I would much rather leave a legacy of changing lives versus a legacy of, you know, revenue, or a legacy of, you know, how many employees I had, or any of that silly stuff that does not matter on your deathbed. None of it does. But it's the lives that you change and the stories that people can share about the impact that you've had on them along the way. So for me, that's the intangible currency. That's the KPI that you can't count.
Yes. And when we spoke, you were primarily online. So now you have a physical store. Talk to us about that. How did it come to be? And where is it?
So it's in Short Pump Town Center, which is in Richmond, Virginia. It's about 20 minutes from our warehouse. And so we're exclusively e-com, but this place is kind of like a very fancy warehouse, right? And so because our products have always sat in a warehouse because we ship for a living. But I came across the opportunity for retail and I'm like, you know what? Our customers need what I call a sanctuary. You know, our thriving community just needs a place to be able to experience the feels, to see it, to touch it, smell it, you know, and then try to dream or realize what you think it looks like online, what it actually is in person. And so the retail physical part of our brand actually humanizes the digital experience, you know, because you can't replace the human connection at all, you know? And so that's what the retail is for us. I also find that they tend to spend more in the store. You know, and then they do online because e-com is so competitive. You know, because you're gunning for what I call digital real estate. So people are just like scrolling on the phone and you just have to be able to stop them somehow. You know what I mean? In this busy, busy world. So that's a huge undertaking. But with the retail store, it's more of a tangible experience. So that's why we went for it. And we want more, 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 more.
You're so right about that. Because when you go to a store, I mean, who has ever walked into Zara and left with the one thing they went for, right?
Girl,
who has ever walked into Sassy Jones? It just, as soon as you see that thing, right? That's why the stores have the stuff at the checkout. And we always hear the bad parts about physical, right? Like overhead and all this other stuff.
Oh,
but you
Lord.
Just brought in that element that I forgot about. Now, is overhead a pain? Are there some pains that come along with having a physical store?
Yeah, sure, Nikayla. But here's the thing. The way that we do e-com, it is way more expensive to run an e-commerce business.
Really?
It's the biggest myth in the world because, all right, to take us personally, 40 full-time employees just for e-com. There's a warehouse, there's client experience, there's marketing, all these things we do in-house. We don't farm out any of this stuff, right? And so there's the design floor. And so there's the staffing, there's the payroll, right? Just to run a website. Then the upkeep. A website is a 24-hour a day business, right? If something crashes, if something goes wrong, then things get crazy. Also, we launch our product and we design pretty close to fast fashion. We're launching two new arrivals per week. That is a lot of work, right? That's a lot of design work. That's a lot of product iteration. That's a lot of writing product descriptions. That's a lot of copy. That's a lot of emails. That's a lot. You know what I mean?
So
that's
a lot of text messages.
Right. So the volume, there's just more to do. There's more widgets digitally. Right. And then because it's so competitive to do business digitally, you have paid ads. Right. That's way more, you know. And so there's that. Oh, and then the rent for the warehouses, right? And so we have two warehouses. You have to pay for a place for your people to come to work and, you know, for the products to be housed. Now, you have a little store, a little tiny store, you know, which really doesn't cost us anything additional because we already have the products in-house, you know, so we just hang them up on pretty white hangers and have the decor, you know, spectacular. But we're just paying rent and for three employees. Yeah. There ain't no money, you know, in our, you know what I mean? So, and then our e-com customers visit the store, so we don't have to advertise the store like we do e-com.
Oh, right. Okay, so the e-coms that are local and can come to the store.
And then the ones that are not local, like they fly in to come to the store just for the experience. Yeah, like we have more fly-ins than we do local, you know? Okay. And you don't need many of them a day. You may need four in-store customers a day. And that's it, you know, to do really well. Yeah. And so that's why.
And so one of the things you've done really well is scale without investors. Talk to us about how you did that. What was the process?
Oh my gosh, the process is still processing.
So it's always in process.
It's always in process. So backing up to starting this brand, I sold a car. That would be what you would consider my first level of investment. And so when I wanted to like kind of go full force in this thing, I didn't have a whole bunch of money to do it, but I was like, I had this car that was paid off. So mm-hmm. I just sold it. And then that's how I got money to buy a product and also do my first marketing of it, which was a trade show. And so did that. Fast forward, just continued to, my second round of investment was when I saved all my money from my maternity leave. Right. And so I thought that I would go back to work when I was pregnant. But I was like, in case I'm not sure, I'm just going to save all of my money and still be working the business on the side. So I would have both nest eggs. And I decided to ditch the job and then just go full force with the brand. So I had that kind of a nest egg, right?
Okay.
And then I flipped that into a tour. And the tour was when I was in the minivan driving to all these various states doing these trade shows everywhere, right? And so the money that I would make from that, I flipped that into e-com because I couldn't continue to be on the road so long. As a new mom, as you can understand, I had twins. You know, that was excessive. And so I just had to pivot the business. And we've been continuing to do that and operating by cash, like, you know, we have a credit card, American Express, that we pay off at the end of each month. And we have zero investors. I don't even know how to pitch this brand, you know. And so, you know, so by the grace of God and just and also being very, very niche-y and very, very sticky, you know, we've been able to amass a very high repeat customer rate, which keeps us, you know, not needing investors.
And what do you mean by sticky for those who don't understand?
So we have I don't like to use the word cult-like. I despise when I hear that. But we have a very, I like to say sticky. It means that we are unmissable, right? When you encounter one of our products, it's memorable. If you see a woman in Sassy Jones, you tend to not forget her or your head might turn, you know? And so it's that kind of experience that we sell. And when the customer gets a piece of it, she wants more and more and more. And then she becomes a collector, right? And it works well because we release so frequently, you know, new arrivals. And we serve her in as many areas as we can in her life, you know, from beauty to home decor now, to clothing, to accessories, handbags. So we are her one-stop shop, and she trusts our quality and our aesthetic. So that's what I mean by sticky.
And the brand loyalty is amazing when it comes to Sassy Jones. When we spoke last, you talked about the weekly live parties you would have on Facebook, I believe it was. Do you still do that? And if not, then what have you transitioned into doing?
Okay, so that is the equivalent of my talk show. That's the equivalent of...
Yes, yes.
So it's called Sparkle Party, and now we're doing it twice a week.
Yeah.
So we're definitely still doing it, so much that we're doing it way more frequently, because all it is, it's our way of playing like QVC or HSN, you know?
Yes,
and so we are just sharing the new arrivals via live stream in a very fun way. And so, still doing it and still loving it and still having tons of fun with it, you know, and our customers look forward to that. That's kind of like their gathering spot too, you know, so it's as important to them. And so,
and they get to see the new items there too. So it's kind of like they're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I love that. You make it look so easy. So many people try to replicate that. Like, and we're like, oh no, this is a lot of work. this is hard. You look so seamless, so relaxed. It's like you're built for this. So how do you maintain the steam, the stamina to keep on doing that?
I know how to rest.
Okay.
It was so crazy you asked me that question, because I was talking to my mom this morning and she was like, you know, the difference with you, the reason that you can keep doing what you're doing is because you know how to take a beat and just sit down. Mm-hmm. And Nikayla, when I rest hard. I'm talking about like not getting dressed. I ain't washing my tail. Yeah. Like, I'm just, it's trifling. Letting the kids run around, nappy. And it's like,
I think I might know how to rest too.
Yes. It's an art of not caring, but you still know that everything's going to be okay. That kind of rest where you can still physically allow your mind and your body to relax Yes. And in conjunction, you're not worried about what's coming next or what's around the corner. It's just like, I'm going to put a period on today. Tomorrow's trouble will be enough of their own, you know? And so for now, and that's the only, along with my spirituality, you know, I believe in God. My faith is very, very strong. I have to talk to Jesus the first thing every morning when my feet hit the ground, and my meditation practice, and then just my hunger for more endorphins and dopamine. So I like to exercise, and that is my energetic recipe, and just keeping a lot of BS out, a lot of nonsense, you know, no gossip, no low vibrating conversations. And so those are the things that help to keep me going, but it is not easy. I don't want to fool anyone, and just, I get that, you know, myself and the brand, we kind of make it look easy. But behind the scenes, there's blood, there's sweat, there's tears. They're staying up until 2 and 3 a.m. on just last Friday because something broke on the website. And my husband's the president of the company. And two of our directors just up on the phone at 1:45 a.m. fixing stuff. You know? And so those are the things that people don't see. But it takes a lot to do this, but we definitely make it look pretty.
Oh, yes. You recently were featured by the Today Show on how you've scaled the brand over, it says, 12,000% in just 3 years. Wait, it's been more than that now. When did you actually launch?
We've been in business for 10 years.
Oh, okay. That was how aggressive it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the first 2 to 3 years, I was like, kind of like a side hustle, right? I was still working. I got the business license. And then I actually went full force when I had my children.
And that's like the opposite of what most would expect. But you went full force after you had the children. Why do you think that was?
You know, I think, you know, you're a new mom. And it's amazing how the kids have a way of motivating you and just like making you feel like you are made for so much more. Yes, and I always had a vision of how I wanted their lifestyle to be. And like, I always thought about if one of them fell down on a playground and bust their head wide open to the white meat. And like, and I didn't want to have to see like, these are the things that got in my mind. And I, you know, and not having to ask, not having to ask the boss to leave and like, go get my kid because they bust their head open to the white meat. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was my motivation, the lifestyle, for us to be able to just wake up one day and look at each other and say, you want to go to Myrtle Beach today for the week? Let's go. You know, and so it was just, that was the attraction for when I had them. I think that was a difference maker between it just being me and then now with the family.
Yeah, for sure. I 100,000% agree with you and have felt that since becoming a mom. Before it was just like, oh, I don't want to ask my boss for vacation. I want to go. But since becoming a mom, it's like, wait, I don't think this country is really built for people to be able to work and be there for their kids in the way that I need to be there for my child. And now children. And so I'm like, I will do whatever it takes, you know, to make sure that I continue to thrive in business, because like the type of involvement I want to have and the type of responsibility that I now have, I have a different motivation. You're so right about that.
We can't be playing around.
We can't play around.
No, like it's on it.
And we've had experiences where people make you feel bad for needing to go take care of your kid. And it's like,
Oh, you're so right. Okay. Fun story. All right. So there's this organization that I'm a part of that is an amazing organization, right? It's called YPO, and it's for the top 1% of CEOs. I think the minimum entry is now $15 million in revenue, right? And so needless to say, there's not a lot of women in this organization, specifically not a lot of Black people, and definitely not a lot of Black women, right?
Wow.
And so they have events, host events all around the world internationally. And I was talking to one of the members yesterday and just giving, offering some unique perspective, right? Because as a man, they are able to, especially at their earning, potential at their earning level, they're able to just drop everything, get on a flight and go and have a beer and have a drink here and go everywhere, right? Because 9 times out of 10, at their level, there's a wife home or someone in a female body typically that is managing home, whether it's children or home. But as female, you know, and also as female being the CEO, that is a very interesting dynamic, especially me working with my husband. So you're right. It takes some work to get them to understand, but our priority is usually our family. And I am so proud of that, you know, and I don't buy, you know, to your point, I don't buy anyone trying to make us feel guilty. You know, we raise the world. And so where would you be without, you know, a strong woman?
Exactly. So we're going to transition a little bit now to talk about, you originally saw for Sassy Jones, and what do you see now as far as where you want to build the company to?
So this is a lovely question. So right now, it was very different from what I wanted. What I thought Sassy Jones would be was a brand where we sort of had franchises, or we had consultants where people could sell the jewelry, you know, but we have morphed. And now it's going to be a very, very strong e-com brand, but we will also have stores all around the globe. And that is my sole focus. We will have these hubs for community, these style sanctuaries all around the world where you can come and find the unique trinkets, you know, that really defines who you are in your style journey. And so that's what we're going to do. And that's the focal point.
I can picture that. That is so beautiful. And I love the word, the phrase style sanctuary. I love that. I can picture that. And I'm very excited for what you're building. You know, you are a marketing icon for me. And so I want to get back to the marketing piece a little bit because, again, there are things that you do that, not that they're easy, but that when others try to replicate it, you know, we come up against like, why is this so hard? Or why can't I sustain this level of interaction with my community on a consistent basis? What are some tips that you can offer in addition to resting, but what are some tips that you can offer to build in a regular marketing practice in your business that feels good?
I would say the first thing before you get into any strategy is to not judge yourself. So marketing is a creative process and it's a free flowing process, just like water, right? And so it's super important to not start with the end in mind, which is so backwards from what the world tells you. It's so, because they're like, set the big hairy goal.
Exactly.
Know what
and they're quote unquote marketers who tell you to do this end goal in mind. So I love that you're stating that. Okay, don't let me cut you off now. Hold that thought.
No, but that's what it is. And for me, every time I've done that, I've experienced incredibly soul crushing defeat. Right?
Yes.
And so it's good to have a goal, but you shouldn't hang your whole life's work on it. So much so that when you don't meet it or when something doesn't go as planned, God is in control of all of this. We just own loaned time. You know, that's it. You know, so the first thing is to not judge yourself in your creative process. Just whatever it is that you want to do, just let it flow, right? Whatever that looks like. Whatever it is, if it's a billboard, whatever your marketing idea is. The next thing that I would say is to plan, right? So what our marketing looks like is a playbook. We have about a 12-tab spreadsheet on Google Sheets, and it pretty much outlines every single piece of copy that is going to be on social media. It outlines every single piece of copy that is going to be on a text message, what the text message assets are going to look like, how we're turning the website over for the week, what's going to go where on the pages. It's all very intentional. It's super succinct and it is very well planned out. So I would say at first, when you don't judge yourself, just let yourself do whatever you need to do. But then when you get into a place of deciding, you get into planning, right? And so after planning, I would say it has to be relentless execution. Relentless to the point where you're doing it for discipline, not for results, right? You're just getting in a groove of showing up however many times, if you're posting 4 or 5 times a day, twice a day, once a day, whatever it is, doing that and not looking for no claps, no praises, no revenue, no dollars. You're doing it for the discipline muscle. Your ROI in that is growing this discipline muscle so that you can check the box that you showed up for today. And I promise you the money will rain down. I promise you, right? And so that would be the next thing, just continually showing up. When I was doing Sparkle Party, and I've been doing this, what, for 6 years now? You don't think I get tired, Michaela?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, back then it was just jewelry. Now we have clothes. I'm literally changing clothes, like sometimes 8 different times within 30 minutes on live stream.
Wow.
in front of people while still talking and holding the audience.
Attention.
That's some fancy footwork. Mentally, physically, stamina-wise, all of it, right? So my point is, it's super normal to get tired, you know? Yeah. And it's super normal to feel like you want to throw in a towel and give up. All of that is super, super normal. But you also have to keep into perspective, like, what you're doing and what you're after is so abnormal. Mm. So you can't execute normally anyway. Right? You after some Goliath, you after some skyscraper, stratosphere level stuff. So you talking about, oh, it ain't work after 3 months and I'm giving up because it don't work. Girl, stop.
Yep.
You know,
listen,
perspective is so important. It's just like, even in our fatigue and in our whatever we're dealing with, it's just like, just take a step back and understand and give yourself praise for what you are accomplishing, what you are actually doing. And it may not have materialized in the way that you wanted to yet, but I can guarantee you're changing lives, right? You're adding joy and you're being faithful to yourself and to your dreams. Mm-hmm. Because for me, if it's like, if I fail, I'm living all the life out of my body or straight out of my body, right? And so it's like, I just want to know that I gave it my all. So execution is so important. That's the most important part of the marketing tech.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
That was a word. That was a sermon. That was everything I needed personally, because there are moments when, although I know this and I, well, not know this, like everything you just said, but although I know about the discipline muscle, because it obviously got me here. There are times when once you've gotten a certain place where it's not as easy to do something without looking at the numbers, because you get to a place where that's what you look at, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to get back into that creative space. And then there are times that I get into that creative space, but I still, because these apps have also trained us to do this, I'm still like checking. And I hate that, because that interrupts the creative free flowing process that got me here to begin with.
Yep. It's so true. Oh my gosh. And how we are conditioned to believe that that is our validity.
Yes.
What?
Right.
You know, but it's crazy, but that is how we're trained now. You know, and if at all possible, like me and Akayla, I have to hide my phone. I have to put time restrictions on my apps. Like I have to catch myself in the second. It is a millisecond by millisecond process to be like, nope, okay, this is not your work. It's fun to check the stats on Instagram and, you know, and check the revenue and just making sure that you're on track. But me personally, I've developed a practice where I don't check revenue until when I was really good at this. Like last year at my peak, I wouldn't check in until the end of the day or the end of the week.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But now I'm like, because 2023 was way different, right? So now I'm like, I'll check it at the end of the day. But okay. My husband, he's like every hour. He wakes up checking the bank account. I'm like, you're a crazy person. You know? Like, as soon as he wake up, sit up, he logging in the bank account. I'm like, bruh. You know? But we ain't got nothing else to fall back on, so I'm grateful for that.
Right.
You know,
yes,
so
yes,
we done burned
yes,
all
yes.
the boats.
It's,
so, but
it's
I,
like
I
you,
gotta,
you do the dance, but I know, but I appreciate that again because that was an important reminder and also confirmation that what I've been thinking about doing, I'm on the right track. Because yes, there are times that I just want to create, and it's not going to make sense to anybody else. They're going to say, well, hey, why is she doing that? Isn't she a podcaster? Doesn't she talk about side hustles? But it's because I have a vision. I don't know where it's going yet, but you know how you receive something on your heart and there's a reason for it, but you don't know what it is?
Yeah.
I get a lot of that creatively, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah. And that's the good thing about it. Like, we just got to learn to listen to it, to respect that voice and like execute and just give it life. Give it some energy, give it some go. And it's going to be amazing because we always get so caught up in the how. Like, how are we going to get it done? We want to start strategizing and like mapping it out.
To? How are we going to measure this if this is successful? If we should still spend time on it.
Listen, what's wrong with us?
Oh my gosh. Listen. You talked about the size of your team. That's also really impressive. But you also say a lot about, you know, keeping it in-house. Do you mean in-house is also with as far as who you hire? Like, what's your approach to growing your team?
Yeah. So for us, it has to be a really, really good culture fit. And typically, like what we do now is we'll do attempt to hire. So we will bring you in a series of interviews, and like in the warehouse, we'll take you on a tour. We'll let you do like a demo day just to make sure that this is where you want to be. You know, and then we'll get to the 90-day mark and we'll decide if we're right for one another, right?
Okay.
And that's just before we get too far deep in it. I'll also do internships before I offer a position, you know, because resumes and interviews are cute. They're so adorable. They're the cutest darn thing in the world, right?
The meeting the representatives. So cute.
Yeah. It's the equivalent of someone's, like, their IG profile in some situations. It's like, this is what you want to show. But let's see what you are really made of. And so the only way that I can know is by experiencing your work and collaborating and working with you. And so for me, that would look like I'll give you a project. If you really want it, if you say you have a job, you'll take a day off. You'll come in the office. Yeah. You'll complete the project. I'll watch your working style, you know, and the right person, because now we have so many applicants who are like, well, I'm not going to come and give you my work for free. I'm like, but the right spirit, the right person knows that this is an investment and they're confident in what they offer will get them what they want.
Right.
Instead of worrying about giving something away for free. The world is abundant and unlimited. What are you saying?
Yes. What are you saying? But, you know, I have seen that mentality too. And like, I get where it comes from. But if you're starting some relationship with all this animosity, like if we can't trust each other in the interview process, we're not meant to work together. If there's all this, like, you about to steal my, no, let's just go our separate ways. Cause
there you go.
If you go, there if you like this about that, but yeah, people have trust issues. People have trust issues for sure.
You can definitely just by that interaction. Mm-hmm. You can tell how it's going to end up turning out.
Exactly.
Because
you know how it's going to end up turning out.
You do, because there is not just the professional aspect of it. You have to make sure that the whoever you're working with is emotionally well.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's also that. You have to have an emotionally healthy person that you're working with. Otherwise, there could be control issues or ego issues or narcissistic tendencies or, you know, like all of these.
Yeah.
So in this whole examination of like the internship that we're talking about, I'm watching all of that. I'm watching how you receive because how you receive is equally important as to how you give.
Right.
How you execute that project. You know, so all of that matters in our hiring process. And we find that the ones that stay around the longest are usually self-starters.
Okay.
You know, they're usually entrepreneurial to a point where they want the covering, but they still mm-hmm. want to do their own thing. You know, and a lot of our people, they like the covering of not having to foot the bill.
Right.
Right. But we allow them the freedom to creatively express and to pitch okay. ideas and to without having to worry about how they're going to pay their mortgage. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. those are the kinds of fits that typically work best for us. And they don't have to be experienced. They just have mm-hmm. to be, they have to have a certain spirit where they're mm-hmm. willing, you know, where they're a self-starter, yeah. very independent. Just like, for example, someone that works at Wendy's, who is an amazing burger flipper, nine times out, mm-hmm. and who smiles at the drive-thru window, would make an amazing chipper, even though they're not
so
experienced. Why is that? It's because of their, what I call the piecework rate, right?
Okay.
And so if you can flip and flip and flip and serve and serve and serve and work in that hot kitchen with a smile on your face, you can for sure come here in this good AC and pack mm-hmm. some boxes while we listen to trap music all day. You know, and so yep. there's some transferable skills, especially in the operations part of our business that just work well. You don't have to be experienced, you know, you just have yeah. to have a good spirit.
That's really helpful. I mean, not everyone, I know some of us, we sometimes you just want to get someone, right? And it's not like you're rushing, but mm-hmm. maybe not everyone has the leverage right now where they can have an internship first. Or if someone's like, hey, either you hire, like I'm not, you know, wanting this test period. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to grow into that until your company
yeah.
becomes that. But still, you can have a 90-day, everyone can have a 90-day window and put that in your employment agreement that, hey, if it's not working out, we'll just have to go our separate ways. Because after that interview, you're still learning the person and you're still showing and proving when you're the employee.
Yeah. And then also just think about you as the employer. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're not who you're going to ultimately end up being either, mm-hmm. you know, and so you are just as much as you're using it for, you know, judging the other person
yeah.
or, you know, us too, and our leadership skills and our training
yes.
ability and all of that,
yes.
you know, and it's like, we're going to grow. And that really brings humility to the entire situation. Like,
yeah.
we're going to grow together. I am
yes.
today not the leader or CEO or whoever that I will be in 5 years. And you're not the person you're going to be in 5 years. So let's grow
right.
together.
Yes.
And some of our biggest and brightest players came in the door with zero experience. Nikayla, we for a whole bunch of nobodies. Like, none of us graduate college. You know, like, my husband is not experienced in what he's doing. I'm a self-taught designer. I just have mm-hmm. billion-dollar ideas. And I have a work ethic that, you know, that is crazy. My best friend is our marketing director. She has zero experience in what she's doing today. Zero.
Yeah.
She has a whole team, you know? And you got to give people a chance too.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they have the right attitude, the right, like we're talking about the spirit, just the right, like
yeah.
they want to learn. That's
right.
all I need. Because you can't teach, you can't buy loyalty. You can't buy that.
Oh, no. Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that you stated that. And that just brings me also to this idea that you need all this to start your business, or you need, oh, let me go back and get this certification, and let me go back and, you know, go to school for XYZ. And there's nothing wrong with school. You know, I'm a schooled out person, but at some point you got to do. And don't you dare try to go back for another certification before you do. Okay? I'm talking to you who's listening. Don't you dare before you try and do a little bit. Before we jump into the lightning round, I'd love to know how you manage the dynamic of working with family. So husband, you mentioned your best friend. How do you manage that dynamic?
You have to stay in your own lane. And listen, also, I just have a very built-in understanding that
okay.
it can get messy. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, and what I mean by that is working with family is like it all being in one pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we understand, my husband and I, that we talk Sassy Jones a lot everywhere around
yeah.
our kids, date night, dinner table, in the kitchen. It comes up. When we first started to work together, I tried to
mm-hmm.
like put barriers on that and
mm-hmm.
like, you know, to really build it out the way that I thought it should look. You know, like, no, we're home. It's 5 o'clock. Yeah, yeah. We turn off, you know?
I used to try to do that too. Yeah.
Girl, it's a joke, you know? So, but I definitely tried it. And, you know, that was way more stressful for me. Mm-hmm. With trying to keep us in containers, you know, based on norms. And so now we're like that one big pot of spaghetti. Like when we want to talk about it, we just let it out. And that in and of itself brings us joy because we're working on something purposeful together that we're proud of and that feeds us. It is part of our life's purpose. And so we are unique as in where we share that, but also it can have the takeover spirit. Heck yeah. It's some days he wake up first thing in the morning before he says good morning, he's talking about some revenue. Like he talking about stuff. I'm like, can I brush my teeth first?
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And you just have to stand up for yourself and just have your boundaries as necessary, you know, but I don't judge him for it because I do the same thing on a many a day, you know? Yeah. And so I call it a blessing to be able to be there for one another in that way, you know, as far as family is related. And then my best friend, it's really unique because I'm her boss. That is a very unique dynamic. You know, she's a very special person where she doesn't take anything to heart. You know, like all the feedback that I give her is pretty succinct. And within Sassy Jones, I'm probably harder on her than I am any other employee.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So there's not any nepotism or, you know, favoritism or any of that. So, but it's unique. My advice is to make sure that you stay in your lanes in terms of your tasks, the things that you're responsible for.
Okay.
That would be one big piece of advice. Like, I can't be doing her marketing strategy calendar. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
The things that I am assigned to do, I will do. The things that she's assigned to do, she will do. When she needs to seek me out for advice or whatever, she will do so. My husband is full on finance.
Yeah.
So what do I look like trying to step into a whole CFO role, you know, and pulling reports and talking money and this and that and that, right? And so I'm amazing at making money. Mm-hmm. I will never be broke, but I can't keep it. So probably I would be broke if I could.
You had me on the first two lines. I was like, well, I like that. I am amazing at making money. What did you say? I'm going to rewind this and put that on my wall. I like that. I like that. Not that part about not keeping it, though.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, you know, it's the truth. I am not amazing at managing money. You know, like I can manage, I could keep it, but he knows how to proliferate it. You know what I mean?
Proliferative is key.
And that's a gift. You know, he's held us together in very tough times.
And recognizing strengths, you know, it sounds to me like recognizing strengths is also key. Like, not only are we staying in our lane, but we're recognizing that this is a strength and we should, you know, have this person do what is their strength.
Yeah. Even outside of their said role. You know what I mean? Like, just whatever you're amazing at, these are going to be your responsibilities. And that's that, because that brings you joy. So I fully agree with that.
All of this was very helpful for me, too. And I hope you guys listening find this to be helpful as well, because I, too, had that issue, like I said, where I, too, was trying to make sure we weren't talking about business or anything related to what we're doing entrepreneurially after a certain time, or we're just having us time. And it was harder. It was actually more problematic, because then it's like you're policing what someone can talk about. If an idea just pops into their head, they're not trying to like talk about work all the time. It's just, it just pops into their head. And like, we're partners in life and business, so we can freely chat, and just us spending time together is still spending time together. So that's an important mind shift too. And I think this year and going into next year, what I really want to focus on, and I hope you guys do too, is focusing on what things feel like, not what it looks like. Because society can tell you what is norm, like what is a norm, like you said, or what you should be doing to separate business and love. But if that doesn't feel good, you don't need to focus on doing something because it looks good or because this is what you think it should look like. Do what feels right and good for you.
Girl, you better preach. I love that. I mean, that really summarizes, yes, what stepping into 2023 and moving into 2024 needs to feel like. And I think that we should be led by our feelings, because we came out of the era, feelings ain't facts, you know, like, don't F your feelings. Flights, I'm taking flights, not feelings.
Feelings are intuitive, though. Feelings are, they are there for a reason.
Like, and they originate from your gut, you know, and so, and your gut, our stomachs are more developed than our brain, believe it or not, right? And so it's like, if everything originates from here, why am I going to suppress that? Especially as female, it's our guiding light, it's our light post, and so
I'm biased though, because I'm definitely a feeler. You know how they have the Myers-Briggs thing? Like, I'm definitely an F. So I am totally biased, y'all, but still, I love tapping into the feelings. All right. So we are going to jump into the lightning round. Before we do that, one last note on your business. You have always come out the gate being very profitable, right? What was that experience like for you? Like, it just seems like it was like, you know, quickly to millions, and then you just keep doubling, tripling that. has that been like a shock to the system, or was it just something that, oh, you manage it with ease? You know, your husband's doing that, and it's been easy for you.
No.
I don't know why I keep using easy, right? But what I mean is, to me, if, you know, my business is making millions and millions, like, I'm like, this is good. I don't see nothing wrong with that. So what's the experience been like for you?
So let me tell you something. You have to always stay hungry. Always. So yes, we did scale relatively quickly to have been in business for 10 years and full time for about 7 of those 10, right? So we scaled. 2020, COVID was humongous for us. That's when we started to see 10,000% growth and like crazy things, right? Yeah. And the beauty of it is that we were doing the things that we already were doing. We didn't have to change for COVID. We just had a bigger audience because everyone was home. Okay, so we come out of COVID, right? And you think that that demand is still the same, and it is not, right? It is not the same. And so, and I got a little comfortable. You had made the comment like, if I'm, you know, in the millions, you know, you're here. And then, and I'm like, I felt that way too. And I'm like, oh, I've arrived. I made it, you know, girl, please. You can lose it just as quick as you made it. If you do not stay hungry, if you do not continue to show up, if you do not, you know, do everything that you did to get here. It's erasable. It is, right? And so the important thing for me is to find ways that I can sustain this, because I am going to be going and inventing and creating. That's what I'm going to be doing. But I also know that in doing that, I need to find easier ways, processes, people, you know, to be able to sustain it for as long as I want to sustain it. And so, yeah, if that looks like after a sparkle party one day, I turn on reality TV and just chill out for the rest of the day because I'm exhausted, that's what I'm doing, because I've already done my $1 million activity. You know what I mean? And everyone else can do their $1 million activities. So,
I love it. And you just... Oh my gosh, I just love you. Like, the way you speak and the things you say. Do people tell you this? Like, first of all, you also kind of look like Kenya Moore. Has anyone ever told you that? That you kind of look like Kenya? Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well,
no, never heard that.
Seeing the resemblance. So when you said reality TV, that it was cracking me up. But one mistake I've made in business is thinking that when things get to a good level, that is always going to be that way, and taking for granted that things will shift. Like, oh, these Facebook ads are working great. Oh, wait a second. No, they're not working anymore. what's happening? And so when it's good, keep doing more of what's good, you know, to a reasonable level. Don't like burn yourself out. But that is one thing that we have to realize, that things are going to change. Like, no matter how good it is, they're going to change.
Yeah. And you just got to be real good with changing. You got to get real good with that, because you're so right. Nothing is ever going to stay the same. And as long as you can continue to like thrive in an environment like that, you're going to be Gucci. You're going to be Gucci.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Working on it, working on thriving in the changes. But now that I know that it's always going to change, it's a little easier, right? All right. So now let's jump into the lightning round. You know the deal. Just answer the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay. Let's go.
All right. Number one, what's a resource these days that is really helping you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience? Not Google.
Audible. That's the first thing that came to mind.
Ooh, yeah. What are you using that for?
So Audible is where I listen to all my books, you know, mm-hmm. and so from... what is the dude's name? He is who I'm listening to right now. Oh my God. Adele's boyfriend.
What's it about?
Rich Paul.
Oh, Rich Paul. Oh, I have that. I need to listen to it.
Okay. So his book is amazing. That's what I'm listening to right now. And it just really reminds me of the grit, the hustle to like never lose it. You know, like he was from the streets, you know? So it's like it reminds me that things could be worse and that like, in my head, I'm always a drug dealer. Like, it's that kind. it's that kind of hustle.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Like, corner boy hustle. Knowing that somebody is always coming for your spot, i.e. like, the popo might be right around the corner. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, yeah. Paper bag boy. Like, but it's that level of hustle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Number two, who is a fellow Black woman entrepreneur who you would want to switch places with for a day and why? Non-celebrity. Hate to do it to you, but not a celebrity.
No, though. I love that.
Okay.
The first person that popped in my mind is friend. Her name is Tara Donnelly.
Okay.
Yeah. So she owns a lock business. For dreadlocks.
Okay.
And she has always been able to ideate a new business. She also had baby products at one point in time. And so I know now she's shifting her model and shifting her life. And I can't wait to see what she does next, but I'm standing by for her rise. We don't talk frequently, but I texted her maybe like 2 weeks ago. But I would like to trade places with her because I've done one thing for a considerable amount of time, and she's come up with a few things and executed on them and owned multiple businesses, you know?
Okay.
And so I'd like to switch places with her for a day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Number three, what is a non-negotiable part of your day these days?
Oh, my focus time. So the first 4 hours of my workday, my calendar is blocked off. And so that I don't accept any appointments and know anything, right? And so the reason why is because that's the time for me to get my work done. Mm-hmm. And then I will accept meetings and things. But it is a non-negotiable as well.
Okay.
Very smart. Otherwise the day will get swept away.
Okay. What is a personal trait or habit that has helped you significantly in business?
Consistency. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the answer.
You definitely display that. And finally, last question, what is your parting advice for fellow women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss but are worried about not having a steady paycheck?
I would say to prioritize your own knowing. I say this all the time. Mm. Yeah. So I know the steady paycheck seems, not having it seems very, very scary. I get that, right?
Yeah.
But if you figure it out good enough, it otherwise becomes irrelevant, you know? But by doing that, in order to get to that place, you really have to shut out all the noise.
Yeah.
Stop asking people what they think and for their opinion and to run things by them and really prioritize you for you. Right. And that looks like clearing out the noise, getting still. For me, this happens in the morning during my meditation, asking me what I really want for myself, from myself, and giving that to myself. That's it. You know, some days it's just a hug, you know, like whatever it is. I make sure that it's me for me. And then everyone else gets to come to the party. So if you use that mantra, if it's scary for you to leave that predictable paycheck, then it can become less scary because when it's you for you, you can't lose.
You for you. That's it right there. That's a perfect note to end on. So Charisse, where can people connect with you and Sassy Jones after this episode?
So you can find us online at shopsassyjones.com. We're everywhere on social at shopsassyjones. Definitely subscribe to our Sassy Jones TV on YouTube. And you can find me at Charisse N. Jones on Instagram. I look forward to connecting with you.
I look forward to everyone listening to this episode. And definitely let Charisse know we sent you, all right? And there you have it. Talk to you next week. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you'll receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.